Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Dedicate one to the ladies. Summertime, sip, bang, need something to keep you cool. Summertime, sip, bang, need something to keep you cool. Better look out now, though. Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by.
You have to get to the good part.
Oh, my, my. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by.
Come on, Dave.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, baby. I got to put my banana Dixie cups. All flavors and push-ups.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. All right, I'll take a little Van Halen. 810 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. He's your ice cream man, baby. All right, so what is going on in the military? This is, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and I'll tell you in advance, okay? I always want to put my opinions about what should happen in the military in a little bit of brackets on it with an asterisk because, you know, I haven't been in the military, and I care very deeply about it, and therefore I'm cautious. But I do kind of have concerns about this stand down to investigate extremism. This is General, now Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, in a video message put out to all the services.
We understand the sacrifices that you and your families are making to defend this nation. And we know a stand down like this can seem like yet another task to undertake, another burden. But the truth of the matter is, we need your help. I'm talking, of course, about extremism and extremist ideology. Views and conduct that run counter to everything that we believe in, and which can actually tear at the fabric of who we are as an institution.
So, completely agreed that rooting out extremism and thinking seriously about it is important. But very conflicted about the message that's being sent that, well, maybe extremism in the military is far more pervasive than we knew. And following the Capitol riot, you know, you got to make sure to find all these people. And you know what the problem is? When President Trump was president, when somebody loves something and then says something that could be taken as critical of that thing, you interpret it charitably. When people are more critical of or not supportive of a thing and they say something critical of it, you don't interpret it charitably. And President Trump's love for the military and love for the police, if he says something like, well, you know what, we need to take a look at extremism in the ranks, or, you know, we need to look at, you know, racial bias among the police, or, you know, pick your target. Okay, we're obviously talking about the military here, but you get the point. What you say is, well, I have concerns about that, but I know he loves the thing that he's raising a question about. The problem is when you have a new president who's does consistently say, God bless our troops, but yet was also a major player in an administration that did all kinds of things that were adverse to the military and readiness under the Obama administration, I have questions. And I don't interpret it as charitably. And so my concern here is this carries, I think, an underlying message that, you know, we need to be careful about these military people. And it feels fairly reminiscent of, you know, we got to be careful about these cops. You know, these cops, they can be a bunch of racists and they can, you know. And I have seen what that message repeated again and again and again has done to our law enforcement agencies in this nation and their relationships with the community. It's not that there's no truth to it. It's that if you create the perception that the police are the enemy of the people, and please make no mistake, that is the impression that the repeated media coverage of racism among the police has created. I don't want to see that same thing perpetuated about the military. Now, do I think that, you know, that's what Lloyd Austin is trying to do? No. Do I think that that's one time like this will create that? No. But it's weird that in the Capitol aftermath, the focus isn't on, look at all those National Guard that did great. The focus on this, the focus is instead on, hey, let's take a look and see if we can't find some of these nuts in us, inside our ranks. And making a demonstrable show of doing that. That's I think, what concerns me here. Plus, I just don't know how effective it is. You know, telling everybody to take a day and think about your oath, in principle, fine, great. Every member of the military should think deeply about their oath. Yes. But again, when and why? Just after a Capitol riot? Well, is this meant to make sure that everybody understands what they're committed to? Or is this meant to stifle anybody's thought that if they have a difference of opinion about politics, that they should maybe just not talk about that so much? I don't know. 437-1620, Mark is on the line at 437-1620. Mark, what's your reaction to this stand down and the instruction to look for extremism in the ranks? You think it's a good idea? You have a problem with it? What do you think? Hello, Mark, are you there?
Yeah, hey, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good.
I am here. Hey, thanks for taking my call. First and foremost, I just to lay it down, I was in the Navy for 20 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is typical military reaction, and it's also typical military procedure. I know it sounds confusing, but it is. So after something major happens, they have to stand down, right?
Sure.
Unfortunately, the reason why they have it is because they feel, when I say they, I'm talking about the military, feel that they didn't have anything in place. Now, like I said, it's kind of funny because when you're in the military, everything comes out. You really don't have, the thought process right away. But the question, the fact still remains that racism, extremism, all of that stuff is alive and well in the military. Okay, alive and well. So the reason why they do have this, and the reason why it's set up the way it is, and it's a sad. I mean, I can't even. It just upsets me every time I hear about this because a lot of people don't know that it's prevalent in the military.
I believe that's true. I mean, I believe it. I believe your account. That doesn't surprise me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Right. So when we do the stand down, it's really, you know, to remind people that, hey, you know, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I mean, you just had the Capitol riots. Now, you know, if the military came into place, they would be pretty much going against their comrades or the few comrades that were there, you know, conducting that, you know, that issue, that hateful task that they were doing against the Capitol riots. But nobody knew they were in the military. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, and it's sad that our society now, we don't know who they are because it's hidden. It's hidden. It's hidden in a police force. You know,
that's a great observation. And this is why I'm glad you called. And thank you for your service, by the way. And this is why I wanted to ask the question, particularly of veterans or people who are in the military, is, look, taking a stand on something that's important, totally agree. And if this is the reaction to what might be a perceived problem, and if the end result of this is to get people more in line with what their oath is supposed to be, what their role is supposed to be, and to root out extremism, amen, good. Amen, good. And if, as you say, it is a problem, which doesn't particularly surprise me, then find it. It's my only concern, and that's why I said it this way, is what is the overall impression being conveyed about the military to the civilian population? Is it, hey, we got a problem, we're fixing it, or, oh, man, we got a problem? 437-1620, Davis Allen, time for traffic.
Yeah, let's talk about this accident that's on Avalon Boulevard. Just before you get to Garcon Point Road, if you're traveling southbound, is where this accident is located. It is backing up traffic, trying to go southbound on Avalon. If you're coming from I-10, you're still on I-10, let's be honest. It's delayed now on I-10 going eastbound. And if you're leaving Gulf Breeze and trying to get on to Garcon Point Bridge, Garcon Point Bridge is delayed until you get in, it's in Gulf Breeze. So on Gulf Breeze Parkway, Parkway, it is very delayed eastbound and westbound. So just be ready to pack your patience as you're getting on here, and of course use caution. I'm also seeing another accident. This is along Michigan Avenue. It's affecting eastbound and westbound traffic right as you are around Gulf Manor Street. So this is showing these delays right by the Vinoy's Tires complex. So expect delays over here, again, affecting eastbound and westbound traffic. If you notice anything else out on the roadways, you can give us a call at 2626-111. This report is brought to you by ECUA's Recycle Coach app. It's here and it's free. Recycling do's and don'ts, sanitation collection reminders. You can report a problem along with doing so much more. Download it today for free. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
This is a really interesting story to me. I'm smirking a little bit. You'll know why in a minute. Report out that there's a study information indicating that people who wear glasses are less susceptible to contracting COVID-19. Now, when you think about it, this is obvious. In fact, we talked about this a long time ago. I haven't talked about it much since, but, you know, my own experience walking, I remember in the early days, like when we were just starting to wear masks, and I remember walking through the Walmart with a mask on, and thinking to myself, what about my eyes? You know, obviously I'm protecting other people by not breathing out the particles. That's true. But if the particles are in the air because of major droplets, so I'm too close to people, or because of aerosolized when it's just kind of in the air all over the place, my eyes, you know, my eyes are wide open. And so the study shows that people who wear glasses have a significantly reduced chance of contracting COVID-19. Now, the immediate source of this comes out of India, where they had a fifth of the COVID-19 patients who'd been hospitalized wore glasses, but 40% of the Indian population wears glasses. And so that seemed to, you know, they were well below average representation inside the hospitals. And of course, there's two points here. One is the barrier of sorts that your glasses protect for your eyes, not entirely because they don't cover entire like a face shield would do. But the other one is that you don't touch your eyes as much. You know, the old, hands are dirty, touch your face, touch your eyes. You don't rub your eyes as much when you have glasses, maybe, is kind of the theory here. I think it's fair, but the one thing that I'll say about this is I love the term that they've come up with. Davis, you ready for this? You know the term they're using for the tendency of wearing eyeglasses to protect you from COVID-19 infection?
Go for it.
Nerd immunity.
Nerd!
I love it. So, Davis, you're safer than I am.
Let's say, consider me in that category.
Absolutely. Mark Jacobs is even in that category.
Nerd!
All those years of being called Four Eyes,
it's a benefit.
Pays off.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What's going on in the newsroom, Mark?
Parts of Texas will be nearly 80 degrees warmer today than they were just a week ago. Dallas should hit 75 after falling to 2 below last Tuesday. Waco and Abilene below 0 last week. They'll be in the upper 70s. An infectious disease expert urging Americans who've been vaccinated against COVID-19 to still be cautious.
Vaccines are not a suit of armor, but they are getting us closer to the finish line.
That's Dr. William Schaffner at Vanderbilt University Medical Center.
Whoa. What's his name?
William Schaffner.
Okay.
Dr. Bill Schaffner.
Dr. Kirk, almost one letter off.
Not Schaffner.
I know Schaffner. I'm sure nobody's ever made
vaccines
that joke to him.
Are not the be-all, end-all. But, never mind.
They're going where no studies have gone before.
That's
all right, Mark, go
he
ahead.
He says older Americans who've been vaccinated can relax their social distancing a little bit, saying expanding their bubbles to include a few others who have also been vaccinated. Speaking of vaccine, Johnson & Johnson plans to distribute 20 million doses of its COVID-19 vaccine by late March when it gets FDA approval. An FDA panel set to meet Friday to consider that emergency authorization.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for that. I thought it was this week that they were going to do so, yeah. So that presumably means, why do they always do it on a, like, end of the week? Why don't they do it on a Monday? Because if they do it on a Monday, they give approval on a Tuesday, they can start shipping on a Wednesday. Instead, it's, you know, all of this weekend chaos of trying to scramble to start shipping the thing that they approved on a Friday evening session or whatever. I don't run the FDA, but maybe I should. All right, Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
Yeah, so with this accident on Avalon Boulevard, it's causing massive delays as you are on, even on I-10. I-10 trying to get to Avalon is even delayed eastbound. So a tip I received, and this listener is probably saying, don't do it, but I'm going to do it anyways. If you were to not get on Avalon, go all the way to Garcon Point Road, and this time take it southbound. It's checking in clear. You would actually bypass the accident where it's located, because it's located just north of Garcon Point Road, and then you can get on and flow smoothly all the way into Gulf Breeze.
So there is your
life hack provided by one of our listeners. I don't know if she wanted me to share it that much, but there you go. There's a cheat code for you. Also, if you are traveling along and you are going northbound, if you have to go this way, if you want to take Garcon Point Bridge, it is backed up into Gulf Breeze, so just be ready to expect those delays. If you'd rather go through Navarre up through Highway 87, it is checking in clear. I-110 flowing smoothly, and I'm seeing no delays at the front gate of NES Pensacola, although just keep in mind, it appears that there is a minor accident on Michigan Avenue affecting mainly eastbound traffic over in front of the Vinoy's Tires. This is right in between West Shore Drive and South Gulf Manor Street. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
All right, look, I know y'all are stuck in traffic. I know it's a pain and it's all over the place. And so you're sitting there pounding your dashboard and thinking to yourself, man, I don't even like this dashboard. I mean, look, if that's you, you know, I know these long commutes over and over again, they get on your nerves, but at least your car shouldn't. And if you find yourself hating the car you're driving, I understand. We love our car. We like our car. We endure our car. We tolerate our car. Then we can't stand our car. If you're in the like tolerate your car, you shouldn't have to tolerate your car. And, you know, something that might not have been a problem for a 20-minute commute, but an hour and a half commute is killing you every day. Get a new car. Go to Frontier Motors. Find out what they've got. 1, 2, 3-year-old cars, low miles, great condition, so that you can actually have a car you enjoy getting into and kind of don't, oh, I don't want to get in that car because, you know, you're not going to like it. So the other thing is you might be able to save money. I can't promise. But I know what can happen is when you get a newer used car, you don't have all those repairs all the time. And even though the payment might be bigger, the mechanic repairs might be significantly lower. You might actually save money driving a car you like better that takes better care of you. So Frontier Motors, check them out when you get a chance, when you get out of all this traffic. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. And, you know, I just got a text in. It's a little bit too long to read to you in the time, but somebody basically said, look, you know, he respected the caller's thoughts about the prevalence of extremism in the military that nobody wants to admit. This person says, I'm a 20-year Navy vet, and I've been all over the world, and the Navy's gotten significantly better, and this thing seems politically motivated based on the timing of it, and which is unfortunate.
Your money now. The stock market is open this morning. The Dow is down 115 points at 31,406. The NASDAQ is down 322 points at 13,210, while the S&P is down about 34 at 38.42. Economists expect to see the U.S. economy boom this year as restrictions from the pandemic relax. Investment banks Barclays, Morgan Stanley, and Oxford all forecasting 6.5% growth this year. Goldman Sachs predicts 7%. Amazon workers in Alabama in the process of casting ballots on whether to unionize got a visit from actor Danny Glover yesterday. Glover says both his parents were union members and he joined workers outside the Amazon warehouse holding up signs encouraging employees to become part of a union. Holiday sales helped Macy's record its first quarterly profit in a year. In the fourth quarter that ended January 30th, the retailer earned nearly $6.8 billion in revenue. Our next news at 9 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs.
You know more because you listen to Brian Kilmeade, 11 till 1 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, Davis, I got to start here with a disclaimer at the start. of our frivolous segment today.
Okay.
This is a little bit of a God, I'm angry with you one. This is a little bit of a, you know, I don't understand why you did this. That's kind of where this is going to go. And I just want people to know my heart is in the right place, even if that's kind of the tone of this thing. But you ready? You ready?
Okay. Let's do it. Why not?
All right. I love to eat. Love to eat. Too much. Love to eat. All right. Basic problem in the universe. The stuff that tastes good is not the stuff that's good for you. Basic, you know.
Sad but true.
It's just, you know, look, I'm angry at God, you know, because I wish he would have built me with the taste buds to love the bran fiber. But unfortunately, he built me with actual taste buds that love, you know, bacon. so this is a problem both for health and for weight and for everything else. But okay. All right. That's the sort of the overarching concept here. The particular question is this. What's that food that you love? You love it. Love it. But it has a negative consequence of some sort that you endure because you love it. So unnecessary. 437-1620, 437-1620. Tell me that food. Frivolous topic, you got to play. That's the only way this works. You got to text me or call me, 437-1620. Talk to me about the foods you love that have a consequence you do not love. Sort of the, I agree with it, but it doesn't agree with me. You know. And I got all kinds of examples in this category. Davis, you got one that pops to mind at first?
There are too many.
Yes. No, I agree.
Amazing foods.
See why I'm angry with God? Why did that have to be that way? That wasn't necessary. You didn't have to do that.
Or even, you know, you could even throw in liquids like beer. Beer's great, but, you know, you can get pretty full and unhealthy through it. Yeah. But I'm going to stick with food and say that... If I could have it every day and be perfectly fine, if this could be a superfood, then I am a super dude. But the patty melt meal from Whataburger with a fry,
okay.
That to me, oh, just one of my number one meals of all time. Unbelievably delicious. Mm-hmm, but when you're done eating it, you feel like garbage.
Oh, 100%. And I'll put my own entry into the same category, which is White Castle sliders. Every time I go back north for vacation, I always get me a bag of White Castle sliders. You have to. They're phenomenally good. Please don't call me and tell me Rally's is the same. You have no idea what you're talking about. And yet, even at the time as I'm finishing them, I know I've made a horrible mistake.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even like, it's not that pleasant, oh, man, what did I do? You know, and then, of course, you get various subsequent versions of that reaction for various reasons. Now, I didn't have that kind of like, you know, gut bomb kind of problems in mind. I was just thinking like popcorn. Popcorn's a wonderful, great, flavorful food. Oh my God, those corn husks. Not necessary. The popcorn husks that get stuck in your teeth. It did not have to be this way. Surely God is creative enough to have made popcorn that didn't have the husk get stuck in your teeth, right? That's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. But you answer it however you want. The question is, name a food you love that you know has consequences you do not love. 437-1620. Somebody says there's a reason why they call them sliders. Oh, ain't that the truth? That's so true. Somebody here says peanut butter. Why peanut butter?
It could be good for you. That is good for you.
I'm confused. I need an explanation. This is the first time this person has ever texted, so I know nothing. It's random, right out of the blue sky, peanut butter. I don't know what the peanut butter consequence is, so I'm curious. Somebody here says pizza. Again, I don't understand why. Pizza is a healthy food. Pizza has all the food groups. You know, you got your dairy, you got your meat, you got your vegetables, and you got your bread. It's the food pyramid in one place. I don't know why pizza would be an issue, but I want a clarification because I don't have a details here. 437-1620. Taco Bell's new jalapeno chicken taco sandwich. for reasons, right? For reasons. Fried pickles, somebody says here. Fried pickles will get them from a diner, local TC's diner. I don't know this place. Is this a local place?
I think it's in Navarre.
Is it Navarre? Okay, I apologize for not knowing. Sorry about that. Somebody here says, my mouth is salivating, but my mind says that can't be real chicken. Okay, fair enough. Fried chicken, rice, and gravy, collards, and a big slice of cornbread, and mother's banana pudding after the meal. Now, see,
that's just good old down-home food.
You can't say that all of those foods have unique, painful problems of any kind. See, here's what I had in mind. I'm thinking like Captain Crunch cereal. Captain Crunch cereal is amazing, wonderful, crunchy, flavorful. And when you get done, you need like triage for the roof of your mouth because you have scraped the tar out of the roof of your mouth. 437-1620. Somebody says anything Krispy Kreme sells. Oh, yeah. No, that and about when you're about three and a half donuts in to the originals, obviously, there's a party that's like, I've done a terrible disservice to myself here. I'll give you another one. Asparagus.
Oh, because of the...
I love asparagus. Asparagus is so good. Asparagus on its own. Asparagus grilled in the oven. Asparagus with some hollandaise sauce. Asparagus is so good. Please not out of the can, though. But asparagus is so good. But then, you know, why? Why?
Why does it have to do the aftermath thing? Why is that a thing?
Why does it have to smell that way? After, you know what I mean, and I'm not going to get into it. It's kind of nasty, but why? 437-1620, 437-1620 cookies. I cannot own them for not for long anyway. That's funny. I'm thinking of like strawberries even. Because strawberries, you know what you get with strawberries is they're wonderful, they're delightful, and then you spend 14 days picking those seeds out of your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then, and it's, I don't know about you, but for me, I get them stuck in the middle of my teeth, and then I get the like, I can't get it with a brush or a finger. I got to get one of those little dental picks out and take care of it. So that's the kind of, you know, just, man. How about, you like chicken, Davis? I love chicken. Chicken's my go-to meat.
I really like chicken. Not my go-to meat, but I do love chicken.
Chicken shreds in your teeth. Come on.
Oh, that's never an issue for me.
Oh, you must have really tight teeth.
I guess right. I do. It's never an issue for me.
I could eat a second meal. It's kind of disgusting, but it's true. Somebody here says cheesecake is the one for them. The entire pack of Nutter Butters cookies. That's funny. I like that. 437-1620. What's that food that you love that has consequences you do not love? Pickled asparagus? Oh, we're off the reservation now. This is... I don't even know what that is. And Butterfingers. All right, that's our frivolous topic for the day. Just something different. I know when you get stuck in, I feel like it's not just as a lighthearted alternative to COVID because we needed that. I feel like for those of you who get stuck on Garcon Point, I feel like we're just giving you something else. Just something else. Maybe, by the way, maybe this is the fun thing you can talk about over dinner with your kids or at work or whatever. That's kind of the goal. Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
And still seeing that accident on Avalon Boulevard. This is just north of Garcon Point Road. Traffic going northbound is delayed all the way into Gulf Breeze. I actually received a report that going northbound on the bridge is pretty much at a standstill, moving very slowly at best. And then if you're going southbound, it looks like it's moving just a little bit, but still delayed all the way back to I-10. I-10 eastbound even showing delays going towards Avalon Boulevard. Now, if you're going westbound on I-10, it is flowing smoothly along with I-110. We had an earlier accident on Michigan Avenue that has since cleared up, and no delays to report from either gate of NAS Pensacola. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know Christina Leavenworth sells a lot of homes. Okay, you understand that. But maybe what you're thinking is, how can anybody sell so many homes and take good care of people? I don't know. I will be honest, I don't know. I know I couldn't. I'm not organized enough to do it. But I know she does, because when I talk to people who have used her to buy and sell a home, they all say the same thing. Oh, man, she's amazing. And not just, like, gets the house sold, gets me a good price, sells it quick, that kind of stuff, but just makes me feel like I'm taken good care of. Personalized attention is thinking about me and my home all the time, you know, and if, which is rare, they don't move real fast, she's thinking about that and getting it done. So if you want somebody who obviously gets home sold for a good price, gets them sold fast, all of that, that's true. But somebody who makes you, I don't know, kind of feel special, you know, has that ability, I mean, it's amazing. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, they can take care of you, and they will. 723-9158, 723-9158.
But I don't think it's distribution. If you look at it, Community Health of Northwest Florida got 800 doses, which is double Sacred, which is double Baptist Healthcare, and they're doing those over there in Brownsville area, and at their place over there at the old Alianestra School is where they have their operations. They are looking to serve underserved markets.
You know, Grover Robinson yesterday during the press conference was asked a question about, you know, why is there such a disparity between white people getting vaccinated and black people getting vaccinated? And I hate the term, but it is the one that people use in brown people getting vaccinated. And it's true, there's a gap. There's definitely a gap. What's the reason for it? Well, I think it's twofold, at least twofold. There may be more than one reason, I mean, more than two reasons. There is a reason in that I think the way predominantly white people think about distributing a vaccine takes for granted the way predominantly middle, upper class white people live, which is access to the computer, access to the phone, access to a car, transportation, mobility, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's the whole problem of you don't know what you take for granted. That's the whole point of taking something for granted is you just take it for granted. You never think much about it. And so when you have all these, you know, fairly well-to-do, educated people thinking about how to distribute a vaccine, it's entirely natural for them to think about how to distribute it to people based on the premises about how they live. So, yes, having, and this is no criticism at all. This is just the reality of the situation. Having a regional distribution center at, like, you know, the Milton Community Center or an Olive Baptist is a perfectly good idea for people who can afford to sign up on the computer, for people who can, you know, who have the internet, and then people who have transportation to get to Olive Baptist Church twice. Not everybody does. It's not easy for everybody, okay? Again, this is not a criticism. It's just being aware. There are distribution assumptions embedded in the way some of this has been done that take for granted people's, and people raise these questions. Okay. I'm not saying this for the first time, but why is it that you see fewer black and brown people getting vaccinated? I think that's one of the reasons. There is also a reluctance to embrace the vaccine, predominantly by, or particularly by black people, not necessarily by, again, I hate this term, but whatever. I don't even like to use it, but, because of past injustices done against black people, particularly within medicine, experiments and things like that, and a distrust also of a system or a vaccine that was produced under a president that they really did not like. So that's a combination of cultural and historical and political. And so who's to blame? Well, I mean, there's a little bit to go around. But this is clearly a problem that we need to work on solving, because it is clearly, particularly the black community, that needs the vaccine most, because they are the most vulnerable to the disease. They work in professions where they are most exposed to the disease, and they have the least resources to be capable of handling it if they do get it. All of those things are true. So bridging that gap, both in how we think about distribution, and kudos to Community Health Clinic, you know, Northwest Community Health Clinic for doing the work they're doing, like at Brownsville Community, that's great. But there's more that can be done. And also understanding that there is a reluctance on the part of many people to take the vaccine. You know, think of anti-vaxxing being something that sort of, middle-class white women circulate on Facebook as their anti-vax views. You know, anti-vax is also a problem within the black community, unfortunately. And again, for reasons, okay? 8:54 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, best of luck to Pensacola native Trent Richardson. He is back to playing professional football. He's playing in the Mexican Football League, and he signed with the team just recently. So I wish him best of luck. He's back to playing professional football. Also, did you see this story involving Mariners president and CEO Kevin Mather? He's no longer with the club. He resigned yesterday after audio had surfaced. He was speaking to a local Rotary Club in the Seattle area, basically just berating numerous members of the Mariners organization. So why would you go to an organization full of professionals and act unprofessional? It's beyond me. But he came out originally saying, I'm going to use these comments and be a better person. Well, numerous columns are written about why he should resign. And sure enough, he did resign. I'm Davis Allen with a quick shot of sports, and now rolling this on over into your traffic on the fives. We are still, even at this time, seeing massive delays from that accident that had occurred on Avalon Boulevard. This is over just north of Garcon Point Road, where the accident is located. As you're going northbound, once you get through the accident, it does clear up all the way to I-10. But if you're getting off of I-10 and trying to get on Avalon, you're met with delays immediately. And once you get through that delay, you're going to check and clear all the way southbound into Gulf Breeze. So just be ready to pack your patience. Gulf Breeze Parkway also showing delays as a result of the delay on Avalon Boulevard. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Next story. 8:57 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Time for future news. Davis and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. The ECUA bill that Michelle Salzman, the D1 representative, had filed and then pulled, is that going to get refiled by Alex Andrade?
I think so.
Yeah, I do think so, too. And I think it'll be a clean term limits bill. I think that's what's going to wind up being in there. The stand down in the military to root out political extremism and to get people to reaffirm their oath and to think about their oath, is this going to wind up being a good thing for the military? Is this going to be a problem for perception of the military? What do you think?
I think it'll be a good thing.
I want to believe that, and I think I'm gonna go with my heart on this. I am concerned about it, but I hope that that is the case. I certainly hope that's the case. What do you think is going to come out of this hearing today in the Capitol, where they're going to look at the Capitol riot and police involvement and failures? Are the police going to be to blame? Is there going to be complicity by the police? What do you think is going to be the result?
I don't think the police are going to be to blame by this.
I think there's going to be failures pointed out, oversights, you know, opportunities missed. I'm certainly hoping there is no evidence of complicity. That would be really problematic. NES Pensacola, the terrorist attack, the families of the victims are suing the Saudi government. You think they're going to wind up seeing any money from the Saudi government over this?
I think so.
I want that to be the answer, but I don't think so. If settlement, maybe, but I don't think as a court case, actually. Florida versus Georgia, the water issue at the Supreme Court yesterday was the oral arguments. Do you think Florida wins? Do you think Georgia wins? Do you think the Supreme Court kind of stays? What do you think they're going to wind up doing?
I'm going to go Florida. Team Florida.
Yeah, that's with your heart. Based on the reporting I've seen, it looks very unlikely that Florida is going to get any of this out of that. But certainly we hope for Apalachicola better days in the future and a favorable verdict.